We're very happy to have Jovan Kvetkovski joining us, Director and Financial Advisor for the Knight Group.
I would crawl over glass, Jenny, to be here. I would crawl over glass.
That's not what you did, though, is it?
No, it's not what I did.
You're just playfully having a bit of a go on a Friday evening with your mates. And
yeah, and I've seemed to have broken a finger. First broken bone ever, actually.
Gee, that's very painful.
It doesn't hurt at all, oddly.
It looks like a puppet on the end of your hand, the bandaging.
Looks like my arm's broken. There's a whole plaster on my arm for a broken finger.
How did you drive your car here?
I actually put it in full self-drive mode.
I can't believe this.
And it's the first time I've tried it, and it's quite scary how well it drives with no human intervention.
So you just don't touch anything?
No, you're supposed to focus and have your hand on the wheel, but I probably didn't even do that.
So the wheel turns, obviously.
Turns on its own, indicates on its own.
This is incredible.
Not for me. I'm a control freak, so not for me.
So for the first time to experience this, and you will do this because your right hand is out of action for a while, this is what we're going to see more and more of, aren't we?
I think so. I think there'll be a lot of taxis in the future that are driverless. You'll put a pin in. There'll be driverless Ubers, for example, and it'll be a lot cheaper than a regular Uber because, unfortunately, there's no need for a driver.
That's not a good thing. I don't like that. People out of work. The thing is, though, the cost of the vehicle would be something people would be able to come to terms with as yet.
Oh, look, I think the Chinese, with the BYDs and the other electric vehicles coming to market that get cheaper and cheaper, I think it's going to be standard within the next 5 years.
Yeah, they're so big, those BYDs. They park next to me in the downstairs at the apartment block and I can hardly get out.
Ah, that must be the four-wheel drives, the utes.
They are huge. Anyway, we won't go on about that. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing us with us today, the financial advice that you're giving us. Now, inheritance, and I won't say if you're lucky enough, you've lost somebody, sadly, to big recipient. It can cause all sorts of hassles. We won't go into that area of wills and appeals and so on. So let's talk about what age is it received?
Well, there's an average size of an inheritance, but it depends on who you ask, and there is an average age. So I did a little digging. A Productivity Commission report says the average size of an inheritance is $125,000. But other sources say it's between $500,000, which is HSBC Bank, and $700,000, which was from wealth manager JB Weir, which is quite a windfall. Yes, I would say, from experience, it's usually bigger than $125,000. Good point. And the biggest recipients fall in the age bracket of 55 to 59, and then it's 50 to 54, and then 60 to 64. So mostly when people are already established financially.
Okay, now we've got a caller already, so we'll get onto that subject again in just a moment. And a very good afternoon to you, Richard.
G'day, Richard.
G'day, Jovan. Just a question, ironically enough, of what you're just already talking about. The rules and regulations and limitations and taxes and that for gifting money. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I think you've probably been here before. You've been coming on long enough that I think a lot of us have forgotten where you started.
Yeah, look, there is no limitation on what you can gift someone in terms of monetary value. You can give someone a dollar or $10 million. It doesn't matter. And there is no tax on a gift. The only thing you would really need to consider is, well, there's a couple things. It can impact your Centrelink. So if you give someone $100,000, Centrelink says if you're on an age pension or some kind of payment, they say you can gift $10,000 a year or $30,000 over 5 years. So they will count any money you've gifted above that as what they call a deprived asset, i.e. they treat it like you still have it in your hand for 5 years. So it doesn't help you from an age pension point of view, but there is no tax in gifting and there is no limit. The only other thing I would consider is who are you gifting it to and do you need to protect them from, let's say, a relationship breakdown? Because in that instance, you might say, well, here's a gift, but let's do it in black and white, that it's an acknowledgement of debt. That way, if your relationship sours, it's an asset that goes to you because you can say you owe mum and dad this money.
A bit complicated.
It can be, yeah.
See, you know it.
But there's no tax, there's no limit.
But it does affect if you're on a pension.
Yeah, if you're on a pension, you just need to understand how it's going to impact you.
Why, if you're giving it, though? If you're giving the money to somebody, mm-hmm. you're not paying tax. They are, aren't they?
No, they're not paying tax either. No one pays tax.
Oh, no one pays tax.
No one pays tax.
But if you are the giver and mm-hmm. you're on a pension, you're still not penalised, are you?
You're not penalised. You're in the same position virtually as you were.
If you've given it all away.
And that's the thing. You've got to be careful because you've got to make sure you've got money for yourself to live. And Centrelink's pretty smart. They know if you've got a son or a daughter that you're really close with, you're just going to give them $300,000 and, you know, every month they're going to rock up to your house with an envelope full of cash.
Mm.
And you'll increase your age pension. So Centrelink's smarter than that. They say, well, we treat it like it's still your money for 5 years.
Oh, why do they? To cover them. They're thinking that if you give it to somebody under the arrangement that you give us back some cash each month.
That's right.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's so you don't game the system.
Oh, gosh, covering everything, aren't they?
Oh, every exit's covered.
Yeah, we're self-funded anyway, so it wouldn't matter to us. But anyway, yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, great very work, nice Richard. To hear from you, Richard. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, much appreciated. Okay, now, inheritance. You said there's no tax, or there is tax.
No, there isn't. So it's funny Richard called, because the next part of our topic was, are inheritances taxed in Australia? And it's no. There is no inheritance or death tax
That's
in
good.
Australia.
That's
good. Yeah, so it was abolished in 1979. That means if you get money from your father, your mother, your grandmother, any person who bequeaths you money in their will, I like that word,
yeah.
You don't have to tell the ATO.
But you're going to have to prove that it has been an inheritance you've received. It's not something you've gone out and earned.
No, you haven't earned
That's
it.
That's what I mean. How do you prove it? You've got to have...
You've got a copy of probate, don't
That's
you?
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, because you're the one who's getting it, you're the one who's...
Okay,
probably executing the will most of the time.
Paperwork that would accompany that, and you could show them that that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have no inheritance or death tax. And look, I use some examples here. In the US and the UK, the tax on death can be as high as 40% of the asset pool.
Oh, goodness. Mm,
Japan, a whopping 55%. That surprised me a little bit. So there is, you still need a factor tax in, though. And what I mean by that is you might inherit assets in the form of property and shares. And those things, if they're sold, you'll have to pay tax on the gain.
Ah.
Yeah, you don't avoid the gain just because the person passes away.
It's gone into a product that
that's
you're
right.
going to sell as
The ownership has changed.
Oh, right.
So if you sell it, you still pay the tax. Say you inherit it from your father, some shares, and he would have paid tax if he sold them. If you inherit them and then sell them, you still pay the same tax he would have.
And if you inherit a home, a property?
Yes, it depends on if it's the family home. So this is the distinction. If you inherit the family home, it's actually exempt from any capital gains tax if you sell it within 2 years of inheriting it.
Okay, that's good. At least that's an option.
Definitely.
If it's an investment that your parents or wherever you got it from, that was an investment property, then you would pay tax on that.
Yeah, if you liquidated it as part of the estate, you might pay tax. Well, you will.
Yeah.
So the only other thing to be aware of there is a sort of stealth inheritance tax, and that's if your parents' super fund, let's say when they died, was forming part of the estate, and there is a 15% tax payable on something called the taxable portion in super. So it's a small tax, it can be big depending on the size of the super fund, that can be paid on inheriting super if you're an adult child. So that can be dealt with whilst your parents are still alive.
Mm-hmm. Good
so
point.
If anyone's thinking that their kids are going to inherit their super, you can do a recontribution strategy, basically pulling money out and putting it back in, and that can wash away a lot of that tax.
Need advice on that one, that's for sure.
Definitely.
Definitely. Now, okay, you're overwhelmed, you've got an inheritance, and you really do need it. You can get a little bit flippant about all this, can't you? It's like winning the lottery, isn't it? Let's go.
Yeah.
What do you advise?
Look, the first thing I say to anyone who has received an inheritance, particularly if it's quite a large one, is just to pause and take a breath.
Good point.
Look, take a breath, put it in a bank account, sit down and just don't make a hasty decision. It's a difficult time. Sit on it for a few months, 3 months even. Decide your next move. Just throw it in a high interest account.
Okay, that is extremely good advice, because so many stories we hear, it's gone in a flash because they've struggled all their lives maybe, and all of a sudden they get it and think, oh, I'm going on that trip. And anyway, we all know that, don't we? And that's also with a lottery win.
Absolutely, exactly. It's almost, you treat it the same way.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you can assess your financial position.
Okay, we've got Mick joining us. Hang on, I'll just get his call. Good afternoon to you, Mick.
G'day, Mick.
G'day, nice to speak to you. I came in partly, I heard... the chat before talking about gifting and so forth. If you're self-funded and you're gifting money to your children, does that form part of their income and be taxed or not? Or is there a cut-off point?
No, it doesn't form part of their income. It's just a gift. It's there's no strings. If you give your kids $100,000 each, they don't declare it as income. It's just you've already been taxed on that money. So when you give it to them, it stays as is, and they get to enjoy it.
That is fabulous.
Okay. So that nothing goes back to the parent?
Not unless you want it to. By that I mean, if you gift the money, no strings for them, no strings for you, unless you want some money back.
Okay, no problem. All right, that's all I wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Thanks, Mick. Thank you very much indeed. Now, okay, take a breath. 3 months at least. Yes, it's pretty tempting, isn't it? They've got debts to pay off.
It might be different in that scenario.
Yes, you might
park it in an offset account if you've got a mortgage. You might use it to repay the mortgage, and then you might have some left over. The pausing of things is really just to take stock and, you know, assess your financial position, review your income, review your debt, look at your savings, look at your super. What are your goals? You know, is it retirement? Is it pay off the mortgage? So it's really taking a financial stock take of your position.
It's not a bad thing.
That's step two.
When you think about it, isn't it?
Oh, you should do it a lot anyway, definitely as part of an inheritance.
Reducing debt is a very big thing, a very wonderful thing. Yeah, pay off debt. Okay, anything else that they need to know? Boost your super.
Boosting your super can be one. So most people get inheritances very close to the age when they can access super, between 55 and 59. Access age is 60. So you can look at making concessional contributions up to $32,500 to super. These are the ones where you can claim a tax deduction, or you can put up to $130 in after tax, or $390 if you bring forward 3 years. So topping up your super can be a fantastic way to use an inheritance.
Okay.
Because it's going to put it in a low tax environment, and it's going to set your retirement up.
Okay. And you can still draw down, can't you, if you're in that right age group?
Yeah. As soon as you hit 60, you've got some access.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Shares and bonds?
Yeah, so this might be for someone who can't get all the money in super or doesn't want to, depending on age. So you might invest in some shares and bonds if your mortgage is already paid off. So that's a good one, just to sort of keep the money ticking over rather than have it stagnant.
What about early inheritance for your own children?
I'm a huge fan of this one.
Oh, good.
I do encourage this where people can do it, because, look, we're all living longer, and as we sort of discussed in that first part of the topic, people get their inheritances quite late in life.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time by then mortgages are repaid or financial independence is close. If you've got younger kids, they need the money now.
Yeah, kids or grandchildren.
That's right. Look at the price of houses. They need the money now.
They're coming down a bit in
price. That's right. So if it's part of your retirement plan and you're going to be okay, huge fan of gifting early for kids.
And how should they go about that? How does it happen?
Well, it can just be a simple gift, or it can be form a loan or something like that.
Oh, okay. There's so much there that people have to remember. They're not sitting at home with a pen and paper and writing everything down. So they do need to perhaps see somebody. We've got another caller. Good afternoon to you, George.
Hi, George.
Hi, guys. I just want to find out what happens if you get a large sum of an inheritance and you're on the full pension.
Yeah, look, it will impact your age pension because you've now got more assets than you did. So you need to work out whether you now are even eligible for a pension, because at some stage you're going to have to declare those assets to Centrelink. There's no real free ride, really. It's going to decrease your age pension at a minimum. If you're over the cap, you might get no age pension until you spend the money again.
How much can they have? I'm sorry to interrupt, George. How much money can they actually have before it starts to affect the pension completely taken away?
So the cut-off for a couple, it's about $1,085,000, roughly.
Well, that's a lot. You could live off that.
Yeah, for a couple. And for a single person, it was around $680,000.
And you could live off that if you were a certain age.
Yep. And look, the age pension is always there. So what I would do, George, if you do get cut off from the age pension, is you'll still probably be eligible for a Commonwealth Seniors Healthcare Card. So if you do get cut off, immediately apply for that one.
Yeah.
But I thought you had a certain amount of time to use or get rid of that money.
Look, it depends on how it's inherited. Like, I mean, there is potentially a grace period, so the family home, you know, is CGT exempt, but the idea is it's an asset that goes into your bucket eventually.
Yep. Okay. Great.
Good on you. Yeah. Thank you, George.
Bye. Thank
Good
you.
Luck. Good luck. Sounds like the people that have been calling you, they're getting inheritance.
That sounds, well, you know, it's I did sort of read it's 3.5 trillion over the next two decades.
Okay. Oh, well, that is amazing. So everyone should be looking at their finance situation at a certain age, shouldn't they? Definitely.
Yep.
Oh, we have got another caller. That's good. Susie, good afternoon.
Hi, Susie.
Oh, hang on. Hi, Susie.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I'd like to speak to the gentleman.
Yes, you have
answered. I'm here, Susie.
Oh, hello. Hello. Thank you very much. But my question is, my brother, he was sent to a nursing home 2 years ago, and he was living in his own house. He was nearly 80. And he said, the house is no good to me anymore. I'll leave it to my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
So he did this. And as you said before, he was on a pension. He never ever was on the dole, never on workers' comp, never took a dollar from the government. But once he gave that house to my son, well, they sold it actually, and then my son was the owner of it. He's been penalised, my brother. And I said to the Centrelink, why is that when he didn't ever take a dollar off the government in his entire life since he was 15? And they said, because it gets means tested. Mm. And I said, that's just mean to start with, because it's his money and not the government. And so in his nursing home, he's on a very high level of, he pays just over $5,500 a month. And that money was coming out of his savings. He was just a single bachelor old man, and because my son was given $600,000, or the house was worth, as you said, it's still like it's in my brother's
unfortunately. That's why I say to people, always seek advice before doing a large transaction. It can save a bit of heartache.
I know that, but you know what, he saved all his money from the age of 15, not saved it, but he was careful with it. And yet some people can drink their money away and smoke it and get into a nursing home for free, where he had to pay $500,000 to go into the nursing home because he was careful with his money. So it's just a very unfair system.
Can be.
Yeah.
It is. I'm telling you, not can be, yeah. It is.
I don't blame you.
I'm just saying to you guys listening, if you save your money, you'll get taken like that as well.
Yeah, good advice.
And he doesn't get the best. Well, he's got a good. He paid a good deposit, which may, I guess, come back as a bond. However, he's paying, as I say, just over $5,000 a month.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Okay.
To live there. And that's not uncommon.
That's a terrible story. Look, Susie, sorry we have to go, but thank you very much for ringing through, and I hope you feel a bit better about it.
Well, I hope, Jenny, if ever you need to go into one.
Yeah.
You've got to get rid of your money, but then they'll see it. And as this gentleman said, in my brother will still have that money, they'll say, in his bank, which he hasn't got it, for another 3 years now.
Mm. Yeah, very sad. Thank you so much, Susie. Lovely to speak to you. Thank you indeed.